Man, I stuck that thing in my mouth. I didn't know it was going to be so big. Now I got to chew it. It's always a privilege to be here. I've been here a couple of times, and it's always just awesome to be able to do it, give a little message. Yesterday I had a little accident. My neck kind of went, my neck went out. I don't have that happen. Matter of fact, the first time my neck's ever went out, and I couldn't move. And now I'm kind of worried about even trying to put up. There's slides up there that I can now see if I can see them. So, but anyway, if I have to tag in, I've got people, men, I can tag in and they can come finish it up. That should be okay. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But anyway, do we still not have those video clips? We couldn't get them. I was going to show you a couple of really quick video clips that were kind of going to, they're going to kind of go along with this message. The title of my message is going to be called Pillars of Biblical Accountability. Now, the two video clips were only like a minute apiece, and they were going to show what accountability is not. You know, so, you know, you can kind of get the idea of, you know, these guys were saying, these guys followed me, they heard what I was doing, and I watched their Facebook posts, and then I went and, you know, met them and held them accountable, and I, you know, they kind of were doing all kinds of things that's not what, you know, good Christian biblical accountability is all about. But let me think here. You know, they say a merry heart doeth good like medicine, right? Let me think, if I can at least think of a joke. It's Veterans Day. I'm a veteran, right? I think I had one, too. Okay, let me see here. What did the gun say to the bullet? Easy. Nobody? I thought everybody would be able to shout that right out. You are discharged. Anyway. You know, I put some slides together. I put some slides together, PowerPoint. My goodness, I haven't done PowerPoint probably in 15 or 20 years. And I just wanted to put some stuff down. He's got them up on the thing, and I think there's six or seven. I shouldn't be too long. This is going to be, I think, fairly quickly. But there you go. Pillars of biblical accountability. There's four pillars we're going to talk about. You know, accountability to a lot of Christians is not a good thing. A lot of people think it's a crutch, or a lot of people just think, hey, if God's not enough, I don't need somebody else. You know, I think that's wrong. I think that's the a wrong type of mindset to have. Or they might think it's a crutch. You know, I should be able to, you know, get through this by myself and through God. I don't need somebody to help me be accountable. So I'm going to go over some of these pillars of accountability. And again, we can take this accountability and use it to God's glory. And again, just almost act like it's part of your Christian lifestyle, you know, and we're going to get into this, exactly what it means. You can go to the next slide. How do you like those PowerPoint slides? I did those all by myself. Like I said, it's been 15, 20 years since I didn't even know, I haven't used PowerPoint forever, but here we go. We're going to talk about a term called one anothering. Can y'all see that? Can y'all actually see the words? Well, I can barely see them. One anothering. You know, the New Testament has that one another dozens of times. It's all in the New Testament about this one another. You know, you can see those references up there. But we're commanded to love one another. Like John 13:34 says, we are to be kind to one another, even our enemies. We are to admonish one another. We are to serve one another. We are to forgive one another. These are big deals. You see the references in the scriptures that are listed up there. Actually, I could have read through all of them, but I was going to save time. So you see the references. We should teach one another. We should edify one another. We should exhort one another. That's all part of the whole accountability term. It pulls together several of these one another's that you see all through the Bible, these one another's, what we're supposed to do. Now turn to James 5:16. If you want to, because I think this it's going to be right on the slide as well. It's a very, very familiar passage. And we're all, I'm sure, familiar with these passages that I'm going to go over because they're very, very familiar. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I got to get my glasses now. So as we see in that verse there, it talks about these one another's, right? We are supposed to confess our faults to one another. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. And by the way, you know, we might have got the result we wanted last night, but you know, a lot of those people that, you know, we don't have a lot in common. You know, our little tiny Christian Bible believing Christian circle is pretty small. It's pretty tight. So we really do need one another. We really do need to take advantage of this one another and for each other. And that's the way we need to do it through our local church. So the first two one another building blocks in biblical accountability are confession and prayer. That's not the greatest picture of that little pillar thing, but if you can make it out, you can see you've got prayer and you've got confession. Those are two of the pillars in this whole biblical accountability. Those are the first two we're going to talk about. So what's James 5:16 saying? I mean, it's basically, again, it's urging us, just like the slide says, it's urging us to confess our sins to one another, to pray for one another. That's what it's telling us to do. I think James is advocating for good preventive maintenance or good preventive medicine. I think the more we help one another and hold each other accountable and do these things for one another, I think it's just going to be preventive medicine or preventive maintenance. It's going to save us from getting deeper into sin or you know, some other issues we might have. It tells us to regularly check in with one another. Again, this should be something we do. Like I said earlier, it's like part of our lifestyle. You know, we need one another, and we need to help one another. It should be part of our Christian lifestyle. You know, to enjoy vibrant face-to-face relationships of mutual confession and prayers with one another. That's something that, again, that we need to enjoy. We need to do. We need to be part of that. It's easier, and we'll get into that later. But when we pray earnestly and fervently with and for others, it can open up our communication with one another and can help us to get honest about sin. You know, the more we're honest with each other, we're going to be more tendency to open up to that, you know, in our areas that we really need help. We really need accountability. We're going to be able to do that more. And it can lead us to giving an account of our sin to each other. But again, we're going to also be walking with one another through the throne of God's grace. And that's something that's very important that we need to do. And again, we'll get into more of the details here in a little bit. Now let's go to another very, very familiar passage, Hebrews 10. Again, it's on the slide. My font, I didn't use the biggest font, did I? You can barely read it. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Matter of fact, I don't know if y'all can read that at all. I can email it to you. You can go to your Bible. Okay, let's see here, because it's in a little font for me too. And I can't see all the way back there. So, okay, we're familiar with this passage, right? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider, there's one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting, what's the next two words? One another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we remember that those first two blocks are confession and prayer, and those last two blocks are encouraging one another and meeting with one another. That kind of completes it. We're gonna go a little deeper into it, but that's that. You see the pillar block? Can y'all see that? Probably not. Again, I haven't done PowerPoint for a long time. You can tell. I probably should have thought of another way to do this. But anyway, next slide, please. Yeah. Meeting together and encouraging one another. The author of Hebrews believes, and again, I'm not an automatic Paul guy. I know a lot of people say, yeah, they think Paul did it. I think there might have been some other folks that did it, but that's a whole other topic. But the author of Hebrews believes our relationships with one another are crucial to our perseverance and our growth. You know, that one anothering is something that's very important to the author here. Provoking one another in love and good works. There's a lot of stuff that can include. And again, you're not going to be able to see it probably. But, we're, you know, just calling someone to your side. Strengthening, encouraging, just being there. Instructing, comforting, admonishing, rebuking, warning, urging, consoling. You know, or any other timely words that they need to hear. to strengthen his or her heart. Those are some of the things that we can do with you know, the one anothering, to hold each other accountable, to do those things. And the more we do it, the more we get to know that person we're doing it with, we're going to get more comfortable. We're going to hopefully then be able to maybe confess our sin to one another, and we're going to be able to do those things for one another. And it gets easier. You've got to have some patience. And again, we'll talk about that in a minute. But it means hearing another one's stories and spending time together. It means helping one another tap into godly motives for Christian living. You know, encouragement also means investing some energy into a friend and knowing them and actually helping them battling through their struggles or through their sins. I was going to say something, but, you know, also just being a layman that I am, you know, if I'm there's a couple of men that I just, you know, talk with, you know, encourage, give verses to and stuff like that. Our other church, we've done it before. I know me and Tina used to do addictions ministries at our previous church. And that was something, wasn't it? That was something that we got to do. But again, it's a one another thing, and that we helped encourage them to get through it. But, you know, we also need to know how to, we need to be able to meet together. We need to be able to, just like Hebrews 10 says, you know, we've got to be basically in church to be able to, you know, to be able to really do that. Now, we're not necessarily going to be talking about those particular events or those sins or those struggles that we're in a, you know, a church setting like this. But there's rooms we can go to. There's other places that we can go to, you know, maybe smaller groups. Maybe there's like a men's group, you know, a women's group. You can just, you know, just have something where you can talk to people about these things. Or a one-on-one, you know, where you can actually, you know, just meet for coffee, meet for a bite to eat. That video was really funny, too, that I was going to show about this guy that did that. But maybe we'll get it up next time. But, you know, we need to have these type of meetings, and we need to meet with one another, you know, so we can do these things. You know, just simple encouraging things like phone calls, like texts, messaging. Let's take advantage of the social media. You know, it's pretty evil. Let's take advantage of the good stuff that we can do. You know, I'm members of so many of the Christian groups and prayer. And just, there's a lot of good stuff out there. And you know, let's take advantage of that. Let's take advantage on just being able to use that and use these messages to help people and to encourage one another, to have an accountability partner. We got to let them know that we care for them, that we're praying for them, and we're there for them. I'm going pretty fast here, man. I tell you, it's not going to be 8 o'clock. It's going to be a little quicker than that. Unless somebody else wants to come up here and follow suit, and we can do something else. The next slide. Yeah. The next slide. Man, building the accountability relationship. We've got to build that good accountability relationship. We've got to be patient. You know, I'm pretty introverted. Sometimes I can even be shy in big groups. Or my wife, on the other hand, is a social butterfly extrovert. You know, I think I told somebody this the other day. Who did I tell this to? But everybody, you know, Tina, she's the type of person that she, you know, she's friendly to everybody. She likes everybody. Everybody likes her. It's like that Everybody Loves Raymond episode, I think I said. I said, everybody loves Tina. You know, and John's, you know, I'm the other guy. I'm her husband. But, you know, some people have that luxury of being like that. But, you know, again, we just need to be patient and get to know these people, whoever we're going to hold accountable. We need to have a mechanism in place. I do have my card still in the very back where it's got my email address and all of that kind of stuff. I'm willing to help anybody, you know, whatever, you know, accountability, prayer warrior, any type of thing. We can do that, and I can do that. And I know there's a lot of people doing that now, you know. And it's, I know the women, for example. I think the women do this better than the men. I keep playing with this. There's no sound coming from here, is there? I've got this thing on. But, you know, I think the women do a better job than us. I think Tina, that's another thing. Tina, she can have 10 to 12 texts in a week, and it's like, who is this? Oh, you're nosy. But she, you know, in a lot of cases, she's texting other women in the church, and she just says, you know, they need to say an encouraging word to her or vice versa, or I'm praying for you. And that's just something that the women do a pretty good job of. Men have a little harder time doing that. I think we have a little harder time kind of just getting our emotions out, just telling others about what our struggles are and stuff like that. That's why I said you've got to be patient. You've got to be patient. Allow that opportunity to do that. But these, anyway, we look at these four building blocks, and you can see that pathetic drawing up there. But that is a pillar of those four accountability relationships, what they represent. And, you know, the foundation is meeting together. The very foundation, the very bottom pillar is meeting together. You know, again, we need to meet at church. We need to be in church when we can be at church. And again, though, that might at least lead to making plans to meet elsewhere. I mean, again, during church service, I don't think we're gonna be able to, you know, go through that much of it. But we can go to another room or something. So it can happen once in a while. But I think we can, again, let's meet for lunch after this, or let's do this, so that we can plan. But we got to be at church before we can do that. We need to be present. Don't forget Hebrews 10. Again, meet for a coffee, a bite to eat, simple calls, text messages. There's just so many things that we can do, you know. And again, in some cases, you know, be patient. In some cases, you know, you might do something with somebody once a week, you know, twice a week. You know, there's some people that want to talk every day, 6-7 days a week. In the past, I know, again, back to our addictions ministry we had in Hawaii, there was this lady, and he was Navy, and she was Navy dependent, and she was heavily addicted to drugs and strong stuff, very strong stuff. Ice, all the stuff that was over there. And our pastor finally came to us. And one time, I think it was tough. It's tough because one time she was having these, what's it called when they fall, they relapsed, right? She was doing so good, and she was doing so good, and we were doing the Bible studies together. We were going through the addictions, the program. But then she had a relapse, and she was homeless. She just went out and did some horrible things, and she was homeless. And then one day she brought Tina her drugs and just said, here, she, you know, she wanted to quit, and she threw them at Tina. So our pastor after that said, for this particular couple, I want you and Tina, I want you to contact them in some way every single solitary day. So we were on them every day with a phone call or a personal one-on-one visit. Because again, the more you get to know these people, you're going to know how often you can do this. You're going to kind of get a sense of how often you're going to be able to do this. In this particular case, we had to talk with these people every single day. It was a need. Now, again, most people can get away with just once a week, twice a week. You know, how are you doing today? Or, you know, if you've got an alcohol problem, hey, you know, did you have struggles today? Or did you have temptations? Did you give in? Just those type of questions of honest feedback. But we can do that. I had another guy. It was in Texas. Again, my pastor at the time says, I want you to call this guy every day. The pastor knows. He knew that this guy had to have some contact every single solitary day. So that's going to be, you know, that might happen. But again, in other cases, it's once a week, twice a week. I just think that the key is to be there with somebody, be there for somebody, and just kind of be able to talk through it. So the other part, the confession of sin, is another pillar, and it's the central pillar. It's the one you're going to see in the very center. And it's the one where, again, we're going to have to start getting honest with God, and we're going to have to get honest with one another about what we are doing or about things we shouldn't be doing. You know, again, it's all about honest feedback. It's all about honest confession. And again, this is not automatically. This is not going to be something you'll probably be able to start with somebody right away. Again, you're going to have to really get to know somebody. They're going to trust you, and vice versa. It's not going to be, you know, like I said a little while ago about the story about the, I might go find a pastor. I might need to go find, you know, leaders of the church and ask them, hey, what do you think I should do for this guy who, you know, I'm not going to be going telling the pastor, hey, pastor, this so-and-so, he's got this particular, you know, it's going to be a private matter between he and him. I'm not going to be saying anything to anybody. But again, I should be able to get some advice, general advice for some people if I need to, so I can go to those people. But we need to confess our sin. We need to be honest with one another. Now, the two pillars in the sides that you'll see, they're both the prayer and they're the encouragement. They should be continual. They should be, you know, it's just not something you don't just say you're going to pray, but you're going to actually do it. You need to encourage, but you need to be honest. And again, one of the worst things you can do for people is say you're going to pray for them, and then you don't do it. And I'll be honest with you, I've probably done that a few times, you know, but you get busy, you forget, right? But you need to really take it seriously. And you know, I did. I called that guy in both cases that I had to contact a guy every day. I did it, you know, and this went on for like a year for both of them. I think it went on for like a year. So 365 phone calls I made with this guy. And that felt like the pastor felt like that was something he needed, and I did it. But again, it's just something that we're going to have to get comfortable with. It's going to have to be a continual thing. It's you're going to have to get familiar with these people. You're going to have to gain their trust. And again, I wish that we did have, and we do have men's breakfasts. I know the women's have their things, but once in a while, I just wish we would just have a man's group that we could do that stuff. And we have men's camp, and we have other stuff. And again, the women do a better job than we do, I think. I think they do this. I think Town East is doing this already, again, behind the scenes. I know nothing. Tina's going to not tell me nothing. I know nothing. We don't talk to each other about anything. You know, some people's going to automatically think that. Can you believe this guy's addicted to this? Or can you believe this guy's got this problem or whatever? That's not what it's about. It's just like the pastor. I mean, he's not going to repeat anything when he counsels people. And the same for us. Any type of counseling I've ever done is like that too. You know, you don't. But again, that person's going to have to get your trust, right? Before they might be able to open up to you. So that's all about the prayer and the encouragement. It should be continual. And again, do what you say you're going to do. Don't get to the point where you're going to say you're going to do something for somebody and then not show up. Hey, let's meet for a bite or let's go get a drink and then not show up. I'm going to pray for you tomorrow. I'm going to send you an email and then you don't. Your word is something that's going to have to get gained. You're going to have to get to trust those other folks. So that's basically I was led to this accountability. I was going through a study on this. And again, we've done this in the past. We've done this. Me and Tina has done this before with people. And it's just something I think, you look at our churches and there's so many Christians that are suffering. And there's so many people that, I'm sure there's some right here in this room that's got something that they're just desperately wanting to get off their chest with somebody. And again, it's sad because they're not going to go out in the world and get advice, right? You're not going to go out to a secular person that's not even a believer and get this kind of godly biblical advice. So I think we need to take advantage of one another in this church and do that. And again, we've got the prayer chain. So we do have some things in place, and the women talk back and forth, and they have events, men have events. But again, I have a card. Go to the last slide. And again, my goodness, man, I could have got a lot longer than this. But there's my information up there, and it's on that card as well. And you probably won't be able to see it. It's small font. But, I've still got my Hawaii number. Why change it now? I've been out of there for 20 years, but it's still a Hawaii number. Don't change it now. And my email address, Hotmail, I don't even know if Hotmail exists anymore, does it, as far as email goes? It does exist still? I thought it was Outlook. I thought Outlook replaced it. Okay. Well, that C-17 fly, I was stationed in South Carolina, and we were the very first base with the C-17 airplane. And I was a little bit, indirectly involved with that. And that address is stuck for 20-plus years as well, just like my phone number. Be willing to, if you really have a need, men, if you really have a need, go get my card. I'd be willing to help at all. Women, again, there's a lot of women doing this now, and if any woman feels like they're left out or needs somebody, go to the pastor, go to the pastor's wife, go to, the leaders. They will get you in with somebody that can help you. And again, we're talking about very simple things, just a phone call, just a text, something, and it might be something a lot more serious, but, start like that, gain the trust of the people, and we'll be, and I think this would be a good thing. I think we need to, we're needy folks, right? We are needy folks, and we do need each other, and we do need other Christians, and we need to be encouraged, and we do need to encourage others. Just like that one slide. Go back to that one slide if you could, please. I think it's like slide 3. No, slide 2. Slide 2, I'm sorry. So again, look at those one anothering again, okay? We are told, by the way, we're commanded to do this. We are to love one another. We are to be kind to one another. And these are all these one another's that we do. We are to admonish one another. We are to serve one another. We are to forgive one another. We are to teach one another, edify, exhort. And those are just some of the things that we can do as far as accountability goes. And we need to, take it seriously. If you ever get in a position where somebody you're going to do that with, take it seriously. Don't just blow it off. Take it seriously. I think out of all the times that I've done this in the past, and I think my wife would say the same thing, it blessed us probably more than the person that you know was coming to us. And it's just a blessing to be able to serve God and to serve others. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's what we try to do. And feel free to take my card, guys. We can talk about anything. I can do Bible trivia. I can do doctrine. I can do theology. Or I can, you know, we can get specific on, again, specific needs. And again, you're going to help me too. I need the same things as well. I have the same struggles, the same flaws. I'm not worthy to be up this pulpit, that's for sure. Ask my wife. She can tell you all kinds of stuff, list of things that I'm bad at. But anyway, you know, I went really quickly. I was gonna like I said, show some videos and do some other things. But that's the whole premise of it, the four building blocks. And what were they? Does anybody remember what those four building blocks of accountability were? Prayer, confession, encouragement. And what was the other one? Meeting together, meeting one another. Those are things, if we truly do those things, I think we're going to be able to really have a successful ministry. I think we're really going to be able to honor and glorify God. I think we're going to be able to do those things that we just mentioned up there to one another. So, and again, I hope you can just take from this that we're a very small group of Bible believers, and you know, we're the best to help one another in these areas. So I'd pray that we would do that. Anybody? I mean, I got plenty of time. Anybody got any questions? I probably skipped over a lot of stuff that I could have, you know, expounded on or gotten deeper into, because I think I said they said I had till 8. So, you know, I've got a while.